The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I also want to appreciate God for this privilege given to me this morning, and also for our senior pastor giving me this privilege to stand before the people of God. I'm so privileged and I want to appreciate God. Quickly, what is limitation? You need to know what limitations are before you can know an error called no limits. The topic is simply no limits. But you need to know what, have an idea of what limitations are first. Limitations are barriers set by oneself or another to hinder progress. For some people, limitation can be childlessness. Because they have no children, they feel limited. For some, even children is a limitation. They use their children as an excuse. I've not been to church because of my child. Some people, joblessness is a limitation. Oh, I have no job, and so I don't have transport fare. I have no job. There's no business. There's no market, so I can't come to church. For some, even that job is a limitation. I've been very busy. Monday to Sunday, I work. There's no time. There's no time to come to church. No time to anything. No time to do this. No time to do that. For some people, their husbands are limitations. My husband did this. He did that. My wife did this. He did that. My child did this. He did that. For some people, he's single. Even that singleness. Since I've been coming to church, no man has said hi. Because of that, I don't want to come to church again. That's a limitation. For some people, too many toasters is a limitation. Praise the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, life will always give us limitations. Life will always bring to us limitations. But we, as children of God, we are supposed to make advantage of those limitations. We are supposed to make use. Limitations are like challenges. Papa will always say, challenges are the food of champions. For some people, challenges are a problem. But as a believer, that challenge is a hurdle to push you forward. That challenge, that limitation, is what you need to move forward. That limitation is what you need. It's like a brake. When you change gear, you move forward. Sometimes if you are driving a manual, sometimes you want to change the gear, it's a little bit, and then it moves you forward. That limitation is there to push you forward as a believer. It's not to bring you back. Tell your neighbor, you are moving forward. And so when I say no limits, what do I mean by no limits? No limits, number one, simply means to be on a level where one is unstoppable. I'm going to be using no limits, interchanging it with exploits. It's a level of exploits. No limits simply means a level of exploits. Daniel chapter 11 verse 32b says, they that know their God shall what? Shall be strong and they shall do exploit. 32b. They that know their God shall be strong and they shall do what? Do exploits. You can only do exploits when you do what? When you know your God. It takes knowing God to know no limits. It takes knowing God to access no limits. Tell your neighbor you are accessing no limits. No limit is you operate where you can't be stopped. Tell your neighbor you can't be stopped. Number two, what is no limit? No limit simply means possibilities in the midst of impossibilities. Possibilities in the midst of impossibilities. No limit. There was a story in 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm going to paraphrase that story. There was a famine in the land. No limit simply means possibilities in the midst of impossibilities. Papa will always tell us, as I don't know, he has mentioned it several. He said, in a believer's dictionary, there's nothing called limitation. That's it. Possibilities in the midst. People are looking at it as impossible, but you are looking at it what? Possibility. 2 Kings chapter 6, there was a terrible situation of famine there. And what happened? It was so bad that they began to kill their children to eat. They were boiling one another's children and frying it and using it for breakfast, using it as meat, as their food. You can imagine. So bad. We will not get there in Nigeria. So that there is recession. It's not now. It's not today that it has been happening. It has been happening since. It's happening. I'm not a prophet of doom, but it will still happen. But as children of God, we are supposed to create possibilities out of the impossibilities. In 2 Kings chapter 6, and if you move to 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 1 to 2, Elisha was summoned. There is a problem in the land. And he was so calm. And Elisha said, by this time tomorrow, a measure of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gates of Samaria. When the prophet of God was saying that, it was an impossibility in the midst of what? What? It was impossible for a normal person, right? It's just like you telling me that in Nigeria, if I tell you by this time tomorrow, if a bag of foreign rice shall be sold for 3,000 naira. You see that our amen is already kana. Our amen is kana. A bag of honey beans will be sold for 2,005. By this time, somebody say mama. Praise the Lord. That is what a bag of cement will be sold for 400 naira. Some people are even saying, hey, that is it, amen. You know, it was that bad. As in, no limits, possibilities in the midst of impossibilities. The Lord is taking us there. I said, the Lord is taking us there. No limits. Number three, what is the definition of no? It is a level where result is commanded despite visible challenges. It is a level, no limit is a level where result is commanded despite visible challenges. It is excelling despite challenges. Papa said something in the first service that there was, he said about the story of a young lady who came up with a first class. Yet she was financially limited. But some ladies will use that as a limitation. Yes, it's a limitation, but she made advantage of that limitation. She picked up a job. She was working, she was reading, and God honored her. But some of the youths nowadays say, why are you into prostitution? Or why are you selling your body? My parents are poor. My father has no money. My mother has no money. Man must survive. Why are you going into Yahoo? My parents have nothing. And I have to struggle. I have to survive. I have to go to school. Financial limitation is not an excuse to go into any evil. There will always be limitation. But as believers, we are supposed to live in the era of no limit. Irrespective of whatever is facing you, you are meant to prosper. Excelling in the midst of challenges. I'm going to be using some illustrations in the Bible this morning as typical examples. I used women because it's a women conference. And we are going to pick lessons from the life of those women. A number one person I picked is a woman called Ruth. We all know the story of this woman. But yet, she lived despite visible challenges. Despite visible challenges. What were her challenges? And we're going to be looking at how she overcame. That will be the lesson for today. How she overcame those challenges. I will use the woman called Ruth and Esther. Ruth had a challenge. What was the challenge? She was a Moabite. Moabites are like outcasts to the children of Israelites. They were not supposed to mingle. But this woman, despite the fact that she was limited, this limitation was placed on her by God himself. Hallelujah. So there is no limitation placed by man that should override you. Tell anybody, no limitation should override you. No limitation. There will always be limitation. Financial, marital, social. Give yourself no reason for failure. Give yourself no reason to remain on the same status quo. This woman called Ruth was a Moabite. She was married. And when she got married, something happened. For 10 years, because of my time, I'll just paraphrase. For 10 years, she was barren, no child. As if that was not enough. After that 10th year, what happened? Her husband died. What a shame. Maybe she decided that even puts pancake. As women, there are so many people that put pancake. They wear long wig, long hair, fine clothes, fine shoes. But yet, they have a lot bottled up in their heart. They are weeping behind the pancake. Weeping. But I've come to tell you this morning, Ruth was visited. Despite the fact that she was an outcast, she was a Moabite, she was not supposed, at least God saw the people of, God saw the children of Israelites there that were females that he could have used. But this woman, she didn't only live in a no limit era. Something remarked, a whole book of the Bible was written after her, the book of Ruth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And not just that. This woman that was barren for 10 years, one would think it is her problem. It wasn't her problem. Immediately she married the man called Boaz. She gave birth. The baby had been waiting for her since. And not just that. She was so graced that she became part of the genealogy of Jesus, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, somebody that was an outcast. Do you see the comparison? An outcast becoming a woman that bore the genealogy of Jesus Christ. That is to tell you that there is no limitation in life. Don't limit yourself. Limitations are only in the hearts of those that believe in it. But how did she overcome her limitation? If she had been there weeping for those 10 years that she had been barren. Oh, and then as if God was not. Oh God, at least you saw me there as a Moabite. You created us here. Yes, he created you, a Moabite. And then he gave a law that nobody must mingle with them. But yet, he mingled. No child. The husband died. She had enough reason to be bitter all the days of her life. But she did something. And that is the lesson in that life of Ruth. And what did she do? That brings me to, how do you overcome those limitations? What did she do? She followed after God. When Naomi decided, look, even Naomi said, almost gave up. She said, look, I'm done. No child. Her children died. Her husband died. She told her daughters-in-law, go back home. Go back to your gods. Go back. Even if I have another baby, you can't wait for him to grow up for them to marry you. So go back. Orpah went back to her gods. But Ruth had something. She saw something. She said, I've had an encounter with your God. Your God shall be my God. This is the same God, though, that rules that Moabites should not mingle. This is the same God that saw her lose her husband. This is the same God that saw her being barren for 10 years. But yet, she decided to still stick with God. I've come to tell you that it is not how bad your issues may be. It is how long you can hold on to God that matters. Tell your neighbor, hold on to this God. Tell your neighbor loud and clear, hold on. She said, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. That, in other words, your God shall be my God. I will follow after this God. Nothing will separate me. The question is, are you following after this God? Don't celebrate that limitation. She wasn't celebrating her 10 years of barrenness. She wasn't celebrating her husband that died. She was celebrating this God that watched her while all these things were still going on, happening to her. She said, I will follow this God. And this God proved in her life. So this same God will prove himself in your life. The challenge is, how do you overcome? Or how do you break these limitations? Follow hard after God. Tell your neighbor, follow hard after God. Many of us have given our life to Jesus, yes, but many have taken it back. In the place of service, the question is, are you faithfully serving him? So that when the day of reckoning comes, I'm sure he must have looked for who can be in the genealogy. And then he still found Ruth still standing. Are you still standing on the day of your visitation? That's a question. Another example of a woman is Esther. Somebody say Esther. Esther was a woman faced with so much limitations. But she couldn't be limited. How do I know? Esther was an orphan. Yes, she was an orphan. But she made a mark in history, just like Ruth. A whole book of the Bible was written after Esther. A whole book. That's to tell you how significant her impact was in life. You will make a significant impact in life. Having no mother, no father, no sponsor. A young lady, no sponsor. But yet, she didn't give herself any excuse to fail. A woman, yet, she saved a whole Jewish race. She saved her entire race. Not with GPMG. Not with a machine gun. She delivered an entire Jewish race. And how did she go about, how did she enter into that realm of low limitation? We're going to be looking at lessons in the life of Esther. Number one lesson is, Esther was a lady under authority. Esther chapter 2 verse 7. She was a lady under authority. Esther chapter 2 verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah. Hadassah is Esther. His uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful. She had all man. She's beautiful to behold. Whom Mordecai, her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Praise the Lord. This lady was subject to authority. She was teachable. Are you teachable? If you must overcome limitations, as a woman, whatever financial limitation that is facing you in the home, one major way to overcome is what? Submission. Papa said it in earlier. That I was asking that some of my message, he spoke it already. Submission. One of your roles is to do what? Submit. Submitting to that man. That man may not speak good English like you. Yeah, it's possible for you to get married to a man that cannot speak so good English. You saw him there before you married him. He may be short. And in your dream, you were looking for a TDH, a tall, dark, and handsome. Behold, he came. SDF. Short, dark, and short, dark, and ugly. But you married him. As long as whoever that you married him, is all you need to submit. Your submission in marriage is not an option, ma. It's not according to your purse. It's according to the word of God. Esther of our time, tell your neighbor, submit. Submit. Esther was teachable. She was submissive. Though submission for the men that are hailing submit, submit. Submission is easier when you play your part as a man. Somebody say, my papa likes that. Yeah, because he always hammers it. Pastor Benita said something on Wednesday. It's a responsibility. When you wake up in the morning as a man, if you are irresponsible, it will remind you. The stump thing will stand and say, yes, be responsible. Praise the Lord. Be responsible. So it's not according to that thing. It's according to how you should be responsible. So submission is easier when you have played your part as a man. So women submit, but your own submission should not be tied to if that man is responsible or not. Your own is tied, obey the word. Submit to authority. Esther was beautiful to behold. She could have used her skin to do harlots. She could have, done a lot of things. But she was teachable by Mordecai. She was teachable, obedient. That was why it was easier for Mordecai when there was opening in the palace for him to call upon Esther and say, oh yeah, come. There's space in the palace. I asked myself, did that man not have a child? Though the Bible didn't mention, but did he not have a daughter that there was an opportunity, there was a placement, there was a vacancy in the palace, and yet he picked Esther. Maybe he had children that were not as submissive as Esther. But Esther, young lady, submit to authority. It will help you to walk in the era of no limits. You won't know limitations. I said you will know no limitations in the name of Jesus. This submit to authority. What kind of authority? Godly authority. Pastoral authority. We have been taught so much. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Number two lessons from the life of Esther. Favor may have brought Esther to the palace, but it didn't rule out the fact that she'll be faced with limitations. So the truth of the matter is, there will always be limitations, irrespective of the height, irrespective of where you find yourself. Favor may have brought Esther to the palace, but it didn't rule out the fact that she will be faced with limitations. How do I know that a whole queen, Esther, even in the palace, was limited? She was a queen of over 127 provinces. Shax is not a third-class queen. No, she's a first-class queen. A province is bigger than a church. Province, you know what all this RCCG province one, province two. So it's massive. But she was queen over 127 provinces. That means she was a mega queen, a first-class queen. Yet she was limited. How do I know that? Because of my time. My Bible made me to understand that this woman called Esther, when she became a queen, the uncle that helped her to become a queen was still sitting at the gate, doing the same job he was doing before he became the queen. If she had influence, so much power, she would have influenced her uncle's position from staying there. Do I have a witness in the house? She was limited. How do I know that? Something happened. There was a man called Haman. Haman. Somebody say Haman. Every Haman in your life will be dealt with. I say every Haman in your life will be dealt with. Haman was in power with so much fetish powers. And Mordecai revealed to the queen, look, you are almost becoming a widow. Something and something happened. They want to slaughter the king. Quickly, swing into action. And the king investigated, because of my time, I won't want us to open this in Esther chapter 3. The king investigated himself. He found out that it was true. What do you expect that king to do? He eliminated those that did the act. Right? But instead of promoting Mordecai, he promoted Haman. Who did the work? Who got the prize? Who did the work? Who got the reward? That was to tell you that something was wrong in the palace. Something was wrong in the palace. The palace was being controlled by higher forces. And so it limited Esther. She favor brought her as a queen. But that favor could not shield off limitations. I'm going somewhere this morning. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. She was limited. I expected her to go to the king and say, King, oh king, you know the way we call our husband. I don't know. For somebody I know, say, somebody will say D. I'm not looking at anybody's direction. Somebody will say sugar. Somebody say baby. You know, we know what we call our husband. Praise the Lord. But she must have gone to the king and said, oh, hey, maybe it's Ahasuerus. Oh, ha-ha. Aha, aha. Aha, my aha. Aha, aha. People say aham, aham. But she must have gone to the king and said, aham, what up? The person that revealed this, his name is Mordecai. You left him still in the gate and you promoted a man that did nothing. Ah, you promoted a man that did nothing. That was a limitation. So at all costs, Esther must have felt so limited. She was a queen occupying a place, having the crown, but she was limited in all parastatals. She had no say. The Bible made us people understand that she hadn't even visited the king in the last 30 days. Ah, even the responsibility of the king, he has not done in 30 days. Somebody say 30. 30. Women, you understand. 30. She has not done. And to make matters worse, she was afraid of visiting the king. He said, if I go unannounced, I will be slaughtered. God, that's the height of limitation, please. Your husband, you know, there are some things that we have easily ways with our husband. Even, don't worry, I know how to lure him. I know my ways with him. I know this, I know that. But it was not so in the place of Esther. She was a queen occupying that position, but she was in all, every ramification, she was limited. You might have married the right man. You might have been in the wealthiest home, yet you are limited. You might have married a handsome man. Yes, you entered. You now find out that this is a lot of trap. A lot of imprisonment. You might have married the right wife and find out that so much is wrong. And everything looks good on the outside. Everybody looks at Queen Esther, the one that rules 127 provinces. But there was a lot going on inside of the palace. Brethren, I've come to tell you this morning, whatever limitation that only you know, you say, your Bible says, it's only you that know where the shoe is pinching. You alone know where the thing is pinching you. You alone can identify that limitation. But we thank God. That will take me to the number three lesson. Number three is, don't be comfortable with your challenges. Bible says, woe is he that is at ease in Zion. Something happened in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Let's go there quickly. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Go there quickly, please. For if thou, this was Esther, accommodated all those limitations. For as long as you are keeping quiet, the enemy will still keep hurting. But at some point, Mordecai had to come in. For if thou altogether hold thy peace, this was Mordecai speaking to Esther, at this time, then shall their enlargement and the deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Every one of us needs some form of Mordecai in our lives. Esther was at peace until Mordecai stepped in to say, look, you can't keep quiet all your life. If Esther had kept quiet, she would have still died in that palace and not fulfilling her purpose. She was there as a queen, but that was not the assignment God sent her to do there. He said, maybe you have been sent at such a time as this. Yes, to occupy the queen position is good, but you were sent there for much more. Women, you were made for more. You were not made to born to deliver children alone. No, you were not made to carry Mrs. so-and-so alone. You were made for more. Tell your neighbor, I'm made for more. As a man, you are made for more. You are not made to be just a man in that house. You have an assignment. Esther did not go there. To be a queen is good, but that was not the only assignment God sent her to do. God had seen it ahead of time that the Jews at one point in time will need help. And so needed a servant, needed a deliverer, and found the queen, Esther. But if she had not risen up to that post as she ought to, what would have happened? Mordecai said, somebody else will arise. But that will be the end of your purpose in life. As women, rise up. That challenge is not meant to kill you. It's meant for you to step it and take your place. Tell your neighbor, take your place. Tell your neighbor, take your place. That such a time as this can be a lot of limitations. Such a time, maybe you are going through a challenge of barrenness and the whole unfruitfulness, lack, whatever it is. There's a strange woman attack. You are struggling with your husband being involved in drinking. Who knows? You are married to that man for such a time as this. For such a time as this. But may we locate our Mordecai. May we be submissive enough to such Mordecai. Because if Esther had not listened to Mordecai, she would never have taken her place. So that leads me to the next lesson. Number 4, get empowered. Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Get empowered. Get empowered. When Mordecai is the person that's Mordecai representative in our life are people that spoil us. Mordecai can be your pastor. Sometimes he can be your husband, spurring you to do the things God has called you to do. Mordecai can be somebody spurring you, your mentor, encouraging you, increasing you. Please, Esther chapter 4 verse 16. Get empowered. And immediately, Esther had been keeping quiet before. But immediately Mordecai spoiled her. What happened? She gathered strength. Somebody say, gather strength. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink, night or day. And then immediately she was empowered. My maidens will fast likewise, and I will go unto the king, which is not according to law. And she was determined. If I perish, I perish. Tayabara. That means if I lose my queenship, I don't mind. My name can be spoiled, I don't mind. But I must do what God has called me to do. You need to take your ground, step out of your comfort zone as women, as men, and take your position. Get empowered. There is a lot of evil in the palace. So much was being controlled in the other realm. Haman was fetish and was controlling everything in the other realm. Esther was a believer, yes, because she married as a virgin. She was a good person, right? But yet, it was not enough. She needed empowerment to deliver her people. And until she was empowered, she had nowhere to go. And you know something about empowerment? Power is not in grammar. There are forces that don't understand English. In fact, Yoruba will say the kind of something that is doing you doesn't understand English. I mean, how do they usually put it? It doesn't understand grammar. You need empowerment. You might be small. If you are empowered, you command. You might be fat. If you are empowered, you command. You might be slim. If you are empowered, you command. It's not in your size. What matters is in your empowerment. So ask your neighbor, are you empowered? Are you empowered? And then to get power, you must have a thirst. Have that desire. Psalm 63 verse 1 and 2. You must have the desire, have that thirst in your heart. Have that thirst. Psalm 63 verse 1 and 2 says, oh God, thou art my God. Haily will I seek thee. No. That's not where I'm looking for. It says, there's a particular part in Psalm 60 something. If you can help me locate, it says, oh God, thou art my God. Haily will I seek thee. Yes. My soul thirst is the same verse. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee. In a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. Verse 2. To see thy power and thy glory. How do you access power? Through prayers and fasting. Women, until Esther took up that position of praying, she couldn't deliver. She couldn't cut off those limitations in life. She couldn't live on where she was supposed to live. So the question is, you need to stand up. Stand up. Take your place. Arise as a woman. Arise over that challenge. You have a situation at home, over that child, over your business, over your husband. Don't blame. Look, Ahasuerus was a loving husband because he loved Esther so much that he threw a party in her name and named it Esther's Feast. So he loved her. What happened to the love when the strange power was becoming active in their life? The love had flown away because for 30 days the king did not summon the queen. The queen's relative that did the queen good was not rewarded. Ahasuerus was being controlled. Sometimes, that display of your husband, that negative attitude, is not him. Jesus told Peter, he said, get thee behind me. He wasn't talking to Peter, he was talking to the Satan in him. Sometimes, don't look at that man's shortfalls. Yes, it's a limitation. That's a problem. Maybe he's drinking, he comes back drunk, he beats you up, he does a lot of things. But whatever it is, don't look at him at that time. Look, it's the devil that is the limitation. And then once you face it, it's easier for you to deal with it. Praise the Lord. Is somebody listening to me this morning? Don't be a slaying queen alone. Be a praying queen. Don't be a slaying queen. Women love to slay, yes, but it's much more than that. You are made for more. You are not made to slay. You are made to slay and pray. As you are praying, you are slaying. Somebody say amen. Yeah. The slayers are the prayers. Where is the slaying in the kingdom of the devil? It is a... You have to pray. That's how they know your identity. And then lastly, number 5, Esther had influence because she was able to call her maids. She called her maids. She called her maids. She said, look, come. There's an issue. Join me in prayers. The question is, are you a positive influence to people around you? She could easily call her maids when she noticed that there was a limitation. You can easily soar. You can easily walk in that realm of no limits when you are a positive influence to people around you. Esther had, she was a queen that was limited, but yet she was still able to influence her maids. Her positively. She could easily call them and say, look, fast with me. 3 days, biri biri. You as a woman or you as a man, can you tell your workers around you, say, please join me in a fast? They say, Oga, that you still smoked ganja yesterday. Ha, Oga. Me and you, maybe I organized babe for you yesterday. Oga. It's not you that said I should arrange that girl. Ha, Oga. When it is easier for you to be a positive influence when you are doing the right thing. She influenced the maids around her. Called them. And it was easier for them to join her because they had seen an exemplary life in her. You must live an exemplary life as a woman. If you must break limitations, you must be the right person first before you can extend. Christianity is first practiced at home before you can export it. Let your children... Be the role model to your children. Be the role model to your husband first. Stay there in the place of prayers. Grow. Let your Christianity be transplanted. Let it be something you can export. Then it is easy for you to influence your friends. See, check your friends. Any friend you have or anybody around you that you're not adding value to, that is not a positive influence to you, check yourself. Because what are you called for? Your assignment as individuals is in Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. It says, God has called us as kings and what? And priests. That is your two assignments. Wherever you find yourself as youth, You are called as a king and as a priest. What does a king do? A king reigns. I'm called to reign. In your business, you are supposed to reign. You are supposed to command. In your job, in your business, whatever you do as a woman, you are supposed to command. And then you reign as priest. What does a priest do? Command in the spiritual realm. So until Esther rose up, she couldn't break that limitation. I see you making influence from today in the name of Jesus. Add value to the people around you. Women are prone to backbiting, gossiping, slander. Desist from such. Let that not be your logo. Let that one not be your brand as a woman. What should be your brand? You are called as a king, as a priest. Influence the people around you. Add value to your friends. Add value. Be the people that when they see you, they say, your friend is good. Show me your friend. I will tell you who you are. And your friends, when you know some people that when you are friends with them, in the next few days, you just find out that you're no longer going to church. They started rubbing off on you. That's a negative influence. Some people, you are friends with them. The next thing, the interest for cigarettes just starts coming. Check that friendship. That's not a positive influence. Some people, you are friends with them. All of a sudden, you start thinking of babes. Babes that you don't used to think of before. You start thinking of babes. All of a sudden, you start finding that there's something. There's no big deal in talking to babes. There's no big deal. All of a sudden, as a married man, side chicks become of interest. So all of a sudden, strange things. You start seeing more of ladies. That your wife is dark. You start seeing ladies that are fair. Say, this lady is not bad. Because of check your friends. Friendship is not by force. It is by choice. Choose your friends. Because if you cannot influence them. See, for me, if you gossip around me, I will check you immediately. The next time, if I don't check you, I will switch. Once I switch the topic, you will not bring such topic again to me. You already know that this person, she can't stand that kind of a thing. So you have to be a positive influence to the people around you. I remember jokingly, there was a time I used to work with CBN, and I used to preach to one of my boss then. He likes babes. I said, oh, God, this thing is not good for you. He said, don't worry. Just keep, I said, encouraging me. The Lord is using it to reduce it in my life. So he said, from 5, it has reduced to 4. So just keep encouraging me. I said, oh, God, he said, don't worry, I'm already getting there. So I'll just keep talking. So there was a day, on the day I got married, so the following day, I think he called me into his office and said, you are married. With all your preaching, I thought that you cannot get married. I said, oh, God, there are two different things. He said that you don't have, I couldn't say that, but he doesn't have understanding. Praise the Lord. You know, influence, let them know you as your brand, that this person, you can't be involved in evil. You know, back then, in my university days, in my 100 level, there was a particular course we did. We call it Psych 101. Psychology 101. That's Psych 101. Because I was new to the campus, I didn't know how for the students, you understand how they set questions. Some are OBJ, some are filling. Filling the gap is bad in terms of questions. I don't know if Lori does it. Very bad. Sometimes, what you're looking for can be in. What I look for sometimes can be if. You know, those, I'm like, so when I, the first, that's like when I did it, we were so, you know, my blast. When the result came, I had a C. I said, CK. No. Papa said, it's in Psalm 18. When a man, having sat down, thinking, intermediate, I had to borrow myself brain, say, hey, say with me, no. So, and then luckily for us, we had Psych 102 in the second semester. So I already studied their technique. So I had a group of friends that we usually read together. Some were in law, some were, but we all had that Psych 102 together. So in the first semester, we all had similar grades. So the second semester, when I studied their technique, I said, hey guys, Ewa, this is how it is. So I mastered. Me, I'm very good in cramming. If you give me pages, I can cram. That's what we call it then. So I could cram. So I crammed the thing. So I told my friends, let's do this thing. This is the way it is. So when I told them, we all read together. And in the exam hall, there's a place in Ife called Amphitheater. So that, it was a very big hall. So we saw ourselves. So we just did thumbs up, correct. So after the exam, some were frowning. This is hard. That bad. Lecture is bad. I said, if they bring marker, go heaven, come back. 100, Kunija. So, all my friends, all, we all had A. What am I trying to say? My friends in my first semester on that course, we all had similar grades. But when I was able to convince them, look, this is not how they set this question. The feeling is different, so we had to study in a different way. I was able to influence them, and our results showed. You must be a positive influence to the people around you if you must break limitations. And that, and since then, I became very good in cramming. I studied. In fact, one of my friends said, I wish I were in your department so that I can read this together. I said, no, it's not possible. It's not done. Be a positive influence. Tell your neighbor, be a positive influence. God will make you a transgenerational blessing. From today, in the name of Jesus. I pray for you this morning that you won't only add value, you will be a generational impact. In your home, your children will call you blessed as a woman. In your home, you will not fail as a man. As mothers, you will not fail. 1 minute silence on the day of your joy would not be done for you in the name of Jesus. And as youth, you will be a positive influence in every aspect of your life. So shall it be. Amen. Please, can we have all heads bowed and all eyes closed? You are here this morning, and you know that all...
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-788-78 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. Appreciate you.